Hour two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, hanging out on a Thursday. Titans and Jags this weekend. But another update on DeMar Hamlin. A lot of good news has been coming out this morning. Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network is reporting that DeMar Hamlin opened his eyes last night and is responsive. Truly incredible. One thing that's very clear from speaking to those close to him, they are endlessly appreciative of the medical care given to Hamlin on the field immediately. Then over the last 72 hours, he goes on to say that he's been gripping the hands of those close to him. Another very positive sign. I mean, that tells me there's brain activity,
yes,
which is exactly what you want to see. And he knows his surroundings. So the Bills scheduled to speak at some point. But that is fantastic that it's the last 24 hours he has shown a lot of improvement. And so very, very, very good to see, and, you know, just awesome. And so we'll continue to keep you updated on that as we go along. So I ask this question in as it pertains to the Titans and the Jags coming up Saturday night. And by the way, you just told me Lisa Salters was at practice yesterday.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So know who's going to be on the call for the game.
Yeah, Buck and Aikman. Yeah,
so
that'll be cool.
She will be the sideline reporter for Saturday. But yeah, she was at practice. Couldn't quite get her to come on this show. I didn't get a chance to grab her quick.
Come on, Michelle.
Busy gal. She's a busy gal. She's all over the place. No,
if she knew it was our show, she'd be all over it.
Not to like flex or anything, but we totally had the same Jordans on. And I was like, oh. I had a little fangirl moment in my head. I'm like, you're awesome. You're a boss. But no, she's been busy week. She was up in Buffalo covering all of the DeMar Hamlin situation. Now down here and going to sideline for the Saturday Titans and Jags game. So
Yeah. I mean, she's one of the best.
One of the best in the business.
Fantastic job. But I ask this, how important can leadership really be for a team? And I go back on Kevin Byard last week playing, you know, against the Dallas Cowboys when he didn't really have to.
Nope.
And nobody would have blamed him. If he had said, yeah, no, I'll take the week off just like everybody else, nobody would have blamed him. But he didn't. He had two interceptions in the game. I mean, he showed that leadership. Derrick Henry addressing ball security, the fact that he's got to hang onto the football more, you know, being a guy that knows his role on the team, that's leadership. And I believe that there are times where even if you're outmatched and even if maybe they got better players than you do, when you have a strong leadership group in a locker room, that certainly can take you places. And I think the Titans have that with Derrick Henry, with Jeffrey Simmons, with Kevin Byard, as I mentioned. I mean, even Joshua Dobbs has come in here in 2 weeks and become a leader. And I know he spoke the other day about that and was asked about his leadership.
What's the challenge, though, preparing for something that you've never been a part of or experienced before?
Well, I've been on playoff teams, so I want to say.
As a leader, though.
I mean, you're always a leader at the quarterback position, so I wouldn't say it's any different, right? Whether you're the starting quarterback or you're the two, there's just much pressure, right? Because when you're the backup, now it's like, hey, you have to really emulate the offense that we're seeing perfectly because we need to see as many good reps as we can before the game comes. So at the quarterback position, the pressure's already there, always there. It's always on your shoulder. You're always a leader. You're always viewed in the leadership role. So for me, I just be myself, take it one day at a time.
I freaking love this kid. Like, I do. And it reminds me of when he was at UT. Wasn't the best in college football. Nobody ever claimed him to be the best, but they won a lot of football games because of him. And I think because of his leadership abilities, because of his abilities on the field, you know, his athleticism, because, I mean, he's smart. He's a rocket scientist. We know that, which I love that he has that on his Twitter. Nice flex. But it's like I know that Trevor Lawrence is the better of the two, but I trust this guy.
Yeah.
And I think the team trusts this guy. That's why he's in this position right now.
Well, and, you know, Vrabel spoke about him and Todd Downing and a lot of other players as well. I even asked Treylon Burks yesterday, and I said, you know, how does he exemplify leadership to you all? And the way it has been explained by coaches, players, and just people in this Tennessee Titans organization and locker room is, you know, he leads by example. He comes into a room and he's able to take over a huddle. And Chase, I think you hit on something really important too in the clip that we just listened to. Chris Harris was asking him the question, well, you've never been a starter before, even though you've been on playoff teams. He's like, well, that doesn't matter. I've been in the position. I've been behind a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger and learned from him. And also, I mean, his position on a show team or as a backup quarterback helping get that team prepared is so important when they're playing against them in practice. And I think the way that he answered that question, the way that he speaks, people stop and listen because he is so thoughtful with his words. And it definitely has, I think, given this locker room a sense of hope, a sense of we believe in this guy, we trust this guy, like you just said, Chase. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he knows he's not the best. But I think that's what shows leadership. It's when a team goes through, you know, so much adversity. This team has had such a long losing streak, and they're not trying to make it seven straight. So, you know, between Josh Dobbs, who's just been in this locker room almost 2 weeks now, Kevin Byard, Derrick Henry, Jeffrey Simmons, right? This is going to be the true test this weekend, because to lose seven straight, I mean, that's actually really hard to do.
Yeah, it's demoralizing.
I mean, and it is, right? So how do you respond and how do you step up?
And that's what all these players, not just Josh Dobbs or Derrick Henry, are being asked to do. But the things are going to be focused on Dobbs, because as he said, there's always pressure on the quarterback position.
100%.
Derrick Henry yesterday was addressing the media. You're right there.
We can hear that from in here, Nick.
yeah, that was audible, but that's okay. Derrick Henry, do we have it yet? You got it? Feel good about it? You like it? All right, Derrick Henry on Josh Dobbs.
Josh, the way he played Thursday night and just kind of his approach in practice going forward.
Yeah, man, just great demeanor, poise. Taking control of the huddle, going out there, taking what the defense gives him. And he's had that demeanor since he's got here. And then being in there with him this week, you know, he's locked in, and I'm excited for him.
Yeah, and like I said, those two are going to be attached at the hip. Or, well, Derek's, Derek's going to be more behind Josh.
Yes.
That's okay. But, you know, then nice little handoff and smooth and those things. But this goes back to my feeling of why I'm starting to lean towards the Titans are going to pull this off, because of a guy like Dobbs and just, you know, hey, you know what? You may not have the best ability, but sometimes your best ability is availability. But that,
well, the verbal that, term there.
Yeah. That heart and that mind, that goes a long way.
And Jeff from Hendersonville on the text line, he's got a good text. He said, a lot of people are shaming us Vols fans for believing in Dobbs, but we've seen him put a bad team and a bad coaching staff on his back and win big games in college. And yeah, it is in college, but I mean, he's been able to overcome things like this, and even just being in the building for 2 weeks. I mean, I just think also too, that's another point, that look at how he performed with just 8 days in the building.
I know.
8 days to learn a whole new offense. And no, he hasn't been a starter before, and yes, this is only his second game starting in the NFL, but I think Jeff has a good point on the text line. He's been in situations like this before as far as the mental aspect. Obviously, the NFL is very different, but it's football at the end of the day, and if he can stay calm and handle it mentally, he has Derrick Henry back there now.
Yeah, and look, Jeff saying that people are shaming the Vols fans for believing in Dobbs. Come on, don't be shaming the Big Orange. They just won the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
And look, I liked watching Josh Dobbs at Tennessee. I mean, you had Juwan Jennings. I was at the Music City Bowl standing on the field for his last game.
Which is kind of like insane, because his last game as a starter there.
Yeah.
And then playing as a starter. It's a full circle moment for him on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, it was Dobbs and Juwan Jennings, Derek Barnett. I mean, that was a pretty good team that won that game. So I think leadership is certainly going to play a big role. How can the Titans stop the Jags' momentum? Because there's one member of the Jags that is thinking that, hey, this is how it was supposed to be the whole time. We'll tell you who that is, and you'll hear from him coming up next on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The way we played and controlled the game, but, I mean, obviously – I mean, we've known that this game was coming for a while, and that this is where we wanted to be. Week 18, I mean, Coach Peterson said it a few weeks ago. You know, he's like, I got a crystal ball. This thing's gonna come down to week 18, and we're gonna have a shot. And we jumped on board. We believed it. We kept putting in the work, and look, we're here now. So we've known this was coming, but we had to take care of business every week to get here. And that's the same thing this week. We have to stay in the moment. We have to do what we've been doing. Prepare the same way. Put together a great game plan. You got to know it, obviously, and then go out and play the game. And that's what we've been able to do, and we've been able to execute. And the same things that won the other ones are going to win this one. We just got to play well and out-execute them. So.
That's Jags quarterback Trevor Lawrence, the crystal ball that Doug Peterson has. They knew they were going to be in this moment. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're broadcasting live from the game studio presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And look, the thing that, you know, is beneficial to working with a former player in Derek Mason is you learn a thing or two of what is discussed in a locker room, the feelings in a locker room. And it was very clear, and I've talked to Chris Sanders about this too, that the talent was improved on this team. But when you have been in a culture of losing and just gone through the doldrums that they did, you don't know how to win, and you had to learn how to win. If you go back and you look at the Jags season as a whole, I mean, it even starts with the first game of the year against Washington, in which they lost 28-22, and that was a game that, you know, they were very much in, probably could have won. Mm-hmm. And then they beat Indy, they beat the Chargers. Obviously, the Eagles are what the Eagles are, but they were in that game. They lost by 8 points in that game. And then lose to Houston. I mean, how do you do that? And so at that point, you know, they start to snowball. You get a little demoralized. You lose to Indy. You lose to the Giants. Lose to Denver. I mean, they've lost to some bad teams. But then they get over the hump. They beat the Raiders. They lose to Kansas City. Go to the bye week. Kind of reset. And that's when things really started to turn around for them. And the only loss that they've had since the bye is against another team that had to learn how to win, the Detroit Lions. And that is true. And they have the right head coach that believes in his team, obviously knows how to develop quarterbacks. And I think they've gotten to this point. And the other part of it is when you're Trevor Lawrence and you go to a school like Clemson and you're this superstar and you don't lose a lot, you don't
like
know.
Like ever. Like don't like lose ever. Ever.
That's hard. You don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
Like you know how, you're like, well, I know how to win. Not in the NFL. It's different. Now they've learned, and that's why I think they have a ton of confidence.
Well, and I listened to Trevor Lawrence's entire press conference, and he talked a lot about the difference between last year and this year and when Doug Peterson came in the building and how, you know, they had to do a lot of rebuilding from what happened with Urban Meyer last year and just all of the on-the-field things and then all of the off-the-field things. And he said, you know, when Doug Peterson came in, we knew he had won a Super Bowl and, you know, he had the respect of the locker room and it was more cohesive and them all working together. And actually, I just pulled this up on Twitter here. Mia O'Brien, she works in Sports Talk Radio in Jacksonville. We're actually going to have her on the show tomorrow at 9:30. This is a quote from Trevor Lawrence on January 2nd, 2022. So almost exactly a year ago. At the end of the day, my job is to be a quarterback and lead this team. I can only do so much. I have faith we're going to come out in a better way, spot next year than this year. I mean, and look where they are.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly a year ago.
Last year was such a you-know-what show with Urban Meyer.
A bleep show.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was. And the culture had been bad. And the other thing, too, is that I think has been positive is Shad Khan has realized that, okay, maybe I need to stay out of the way. I think his son Tony has been more involved, and Tony is a tremendous businessman. He runs All Elite Wrestling, has done a great job with that. He's been more visible with the Jags, but the owner needs to be the owner. And, you know, the Amy Adams Strunk for the most part has done that now. Questionable decision this year, but, you know, whatever.
But for the most part, stayed kind of out of, you know, the media.
Let the football people do the football things. And that's what I think they've done this year. And, you know, bringing in Doug Peterson, like, because that's the thing. You're bringing in a guy that won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Think he knows what he's doing. Let him do it.
Let him
and,
do it.
And he's showing it right now.
And got there with a Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And then a Nick Foles to actually get it done. But I couldn't agree more, Chase. I mean, this Jags team, obviously, the franchise hadn't been good for years. So they've had high draft picks and they have good players on this team. And we even talked about that last year, how, you know, when the Titans would go, it was a week where they were going to play the Jags. And we talked about Trevor Lawrence and we talked about the other good guys they have on this team and young guys that they've been able to stack up year after year. But they just hadn't been able to have a coach who was able to develop Trevor Lawrence and have this team learn how to win. I think you said it perfectly. And Doug Peterson comes in and they know he's a Super Bowl winning head coach, like what he's been able to do in his time in the NFL. And it really is coming together for this Jags team a lot sooner than I expected. I thought maybe Trevor Lawrence year three would be the year of, okay, Doug Peterson's second year with this team. But I mean, look what they've been able to do just this year. I don't think anybody expected that they would be competing with the Tennessee Titans for the division this year. I mean, when the Titans had a 90% chance to win the division, it was almost, okay, sweep the Colts and the Texans and the Jags. Those will be the easy teams. Just sure. Check those off the list. And
I never felt that about the Jags. I always had a sneaky feeling about the Jags that they were going to be better. Like
better, but still a okay, you know, an easy one on the schedule.
Here's the thing. I could end up being right about my prediction. And my prediction was I thought they were going to be improved, maybe knocking on the door of the playoffs and just missing it. And that's exactly what they might be. Now, they could end up winning on Saturday, and then they win the division, and then who knows what happens. But another key in this, outside of Lawrence playing better, the fact that they have Travis Etienne. Travis Etienne has had a very, very good season, really his rookie season because he missed all of last year, 213 carries, just over 1,100 yards, only 5 touchdowns on the ground. But the fact that you've been able to establish a run game with Etienne and use him as a weapon, and I think that has been big. He's caught the ball a little bit, not a whole lot, but that just gives Trevor Lawrence another weapon and a familiar one at that.
Well, and you mentioned Travis Etienne, and then you also have James Robinson as their second running back, and those two are both leading the team in most touchdowns and then second most touchdowns, 8 combined touchdown for those two. So, I mean, you know
they traded Robinson, though. Oh. He's with the Jets.
Oh, JK.
They traded him at the deadline.
JK.
But he was good.
ESPN needs to update that on there then.
They do.
But, I mean, the run game, right? So the run game is going to be so important for this Tennessee Titans team. We've seen them have good run defense and defending the run, and they've been, you know, at the top of the NFL in that. But we haven't been able to see a lot of that with all the injuries that they've had with Jeffrey Simmons and with Danico Autry. So that's going to be another huge key to victory for this Tennessee Titans team.
Joel in Woodbury says that I earned his respect with my AEW reference. Well, I am all elite, so you're welcome, Joel. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. I know that's over your head, Michelle, but you're around me enough, you'll learn a little wrestling. So
I'll try to learn a little wrestling from you.
Does Ryan from Chicago like wrestling? Because he should.
I don't think so.
Well, he needs to learn.
We'll have to tag team with you to a wrestling event.
You should.
I think I might be a little scared, but.
Oh, I think you'd have fun, though. I do.
We'll see.
Monday Night Raw was great. There was a fire Todd Downing sign. It was funny.
Well, and there's also one on the text line. Is it true, Corey in Clarksville, is it true Todd Downing is getting fired at the end of the season? I did see some random graphics on Twitter, but I think it was a fake account.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
That's not going to be out.
Yeah, not yet. But, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that it would happen, but no official report or anything that we've heard.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple out there that you know. He could be, but I don't know if I would run with that yet. But
yeah,
but
yet.
I also wouldn't be surprised.
Yes, wouldn't be surprised. No official report. Haven't heard that from anybody.
If they lose Saturday, we'll know. We'll know soon.
Have a feeling if they do lose Saturday, we will know very soon.
Mike Vrabel announces that he and Shane Bowen are the only remaining members of the coaching.
Shane Bowen gets a head coaching job.
Yeah, no, I don't think it would be that. I mean, there's a few. We could go through, and there's some we'd be fine keeping for sure. But we will find out. Hey, this Sunday, tune in for the NFL postgame. That show is going to be Sunday, not Saturday, with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from 6 and Peabody, located at 423 6th Avenue South from 4 to 6. Postgame is presented by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, now with a huge inventory of in-stock vehicles to choose from, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Coming up next on Chase and Michelle, we'll talk to Jill Jelinek, Fox 17 sports director, get her thoughts on the Titans as she's been at practice. We'll do that next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keiser here with you. We go back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and say hello to Jill Jelinek. She is the sports director at Fox 17. Good morning, Jill. How are you doing?
Good morning, Chase. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, Jill.
I'm great. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, indeed. Excited about Titans and Jags coming up this weekend. But I want to start with something, because I think you have a good answer to this. You were a Division I athlete. You know the life inside a locker room, being with the team, and how important leadership can be. When I look at this Tennessee Titans team right now, I mean, you know, guys like Kevin Byard, Derrick Henry, Jeffrey Simmons, they pop out at you as leaders. But I feel like Joshua Dobbs in the last 2 weeks has come in, even as a guy that was signed to be a backup quarterback, now he's starting. He's shown his leadership ability, and the team gravitates towards that. So how important is that to a team going into a winner-take-all game to have that strong leadership, especially out of the quarterback position?
It's crucial. I mean, when you look at any NFL team, right, that quarterback position, such a unique position because of the role of the leadership. Not only is that player touching the ball on every offensive snap, but he is a leader both on and off the field. Whether he's a good guy or not, he has to lead the team, right? And I think the Titans have been fortunate to have so many great leaders on the team. You mentioned them, Chase. Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, the unquestionable leader on the defense. Up front, Big Jeff has been very vocal about his leadership and taking steps forward there with that defensive front. But what has happened the last couple weeks, and ever since Tannehill started to battle his ankle injury, there's been a little bit of a, not a lack of leadership, but there's been a hole, right? Because Tannehill hasn't been 100% healthy. He missed several games. Malik Willis was trying to step up as a rookie, which is, we all know, very difficult to do. And then in comes this former Vol, Josh Dobbs, aerospace engineering major, who's very smart. Tennessee knows him very well. Vol fans know him very well from his time at UT. And he was given this unique situation where he could use his 6 years in the league experience to try to fill this hole at this very important position for the Titans. And I think he surprised a lot of people last Thursday by how well he was able to execute that offense with have only been with the team 8 days. Now Josh Dobbs has had his first full week of practice with the team. This is day 15 since he's been with the Tennessee Titans. And what impressed me the most, talking to the players in the locker room yesterday, Chase and Michelle, how eager they wanted to compliment Josh Dobbs, how they mentioned his energy, they mentioned his positivity. They also mentioned how he's won the locker room and he's only had one full week of practice. They used those words. Amani Hooker did, Treylon Burks did, Nick Westbrook Akina. They said he's won the locker room with his uplifting spirit, his positivity, and his energy. And they also said Josh Dobbs isn't a rah-rah guy. He's not going to, you know, rally the troops with a big cheer or you know, break it down in the huddle. He's going to be him, and his style is just naturally positive and uplifting. Chigakonkwo, another player who is very complimentary of Josh Dobbs' leadership style, and this is a very – I keep using unique situation because that's actually what Josh Dobbs referred to it as. He's had an opportunity to come in here last 2 weeks of the season, be a starter for this team, and not just be a starter, but be the leader that gets them the ticket to go to the postseason for the fourth straight year. Wow, talk about how much pressure, how much is on the line for this young player, and he seems to be thriving under it. He understands the magnitude. He understands how big this game is, obviously, for this franchise, and he's ready for it. I'm very excited to see what he does on Saturday, and I believe he has the support of the entire locker room behind him.
Jill Jelinek, Fox 17 sports director, is with us on Chase and Michelle. Now, Derrick Henry, of course, was asked about hanging on to the football. That's been uncharacteristic of him as of late, as he's fumbled the football, including two in the previous matchup against the Jags. I just picture him walking around the facility holding a ball, everybody trying to punch it out like you're in high school. But you can tell that that's something that he's taking personally and he has worked on. And he's a man of few words, but I could really see it in his face that that's something that has bothered him. And that's going to be very, very important on Saturday. They have to hang on to the football.
It will be, without a doubt, one of the biggest keys to the game on Saturday is winning the turnover battle, because that is what cost them the game. The last time they played the Jaguars on December 11th, the Titans had four turnovers. You take away two of those, and Titans win that game. Very uncharacteristic. You said that, Chase, an anomaly. And I believe a lot of the other players referred to those four turnovers that game as that as well. That was an exception. This turnovers haven't been their Achilles heel. Titans have had problems offensively. I think we all know that. But turnovers haven't consistently been their issue from week in, week out. It was in that game. Derrick Henry did take it personally. He said yesterday, ever since that game, he has been working on his ball security even more than he normally does. And we all know he always works on ball security with Coach Tony, the running backs coach for the Titans. They work on that day in, day out at practice, but Derrick Henry said they've been working on it even more, keeping that ball high and tight, emphasizing that ball placement when he is carrying it, because then defenders are less likely, or it's not as easy for a defender to come and knock it out if you're losing focus. That's something that Derrick Henry said he's really been emphasizing. And I think we've all seen Derrick Henry's work ethic, his crazy workout videos on Instagram in the off season, right? This is a guy that does not do anything half-assed. This is a guy that goes all in every single day, and they are going to need him to be the number 22 that the Titans fans and that team know he can be. Expect a big game from him. He had over 120 yards last time against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Historically, has always done well when he goes to Jacksonville, not too far away from his hometown in Florida. And so I believe that as long as the Titans can kind of get in front of the change, have Josh Dobbs be able to keep that offense on schedule, and make sure Derrick Henry is able to get some holes from his offensive line, I believe this is King Henry's game.
We've got Jill Jelinek with us, sports director of Fox 17. Jill, this week the injury report actually has been looking up for the Tennessee Titans, but yesterday Treylon Burks did get placed on there with a groin injury and was limited participation yesterday in Wednesday's practice. How concerning is that for this Tennessee Titans team as they're heading into this big matchup in Jacksonville?
Good question, Michelle. I think any time that you see a player, you know, let alone one of the better receivers, pop up on an injury report when you weren't expecting it, it's concerning, right? But to answer your question, I'm not too concerned, because there may not be anything after this game. Titans know this is it. And I really believe, since he hasn't had too many groin issues, right, this isn't a lingering issue for the last couple weeks with Treylon Burks, I believe he'll be okay. I talked to him yesterday, and he said he was feeling good. This was before the injury report came out, so I didn't specifically ask him about his groin. He says he's excited for the game. He's been building chemistry with Josh Dobbs all this week, loves what he sees from Dobbs and his poise and energy in the locker room and on the field. So Treylon, to me, sounded like he is as ready to go as everybody else in that locker room. So I'm not too concerned. Whether it's a game time decision, we'll see. Today the Titans will practice for one last time, and we'll have the final injury report come out today before the update going into the game on Saturday. But to kind of spin it into a positive direction, I Michelle, you said it. This is a short, one of the shortest injury reports for the Titans we've seen in maybe 2 months. And I think what's really exciting me, the defensive line. Denigo Autry did not play in the game against Jacksonville. He's back. Jeffrey Simmons looking healthier and stronger, looking good for the defensive line. Pierre Tart coming off of one of his best games this past week against the Cowboys. Excited. I'm just very excited for this run. Oh, and DeMarcus Walker also coming in his hometown in Florida. So this is a defensive front that I believe is going to get a lot of pressure on Trevor Lawrence. They know they need to, because the last time they played the Jags, they did not sack him once. So look for that defensive front to have a big game.
Well, let's hone in on that a little bit more, Jill. Denigo Autry and Jeff Simmons haven't been able to, you know, really play together. Denigo suffered, you know, his injury, wasn't able to get on the field for a couple weeks. He did play in Houston. Then they get this extra week of break. How important will it be just to have Jeffrey Simmons and Denigo Autry both out there together leading that defensive line?
Huge. Critical. Because even though this defensive line has not been 100% this entire year, they've had a lot of other guys step up. But when they have been together, we've seen what they can do, the havoc they can wreak. We thought at the beginning of the season before Denigo Autry got hurt in the Packers game. And, you know, this is also a defensive front that's missing Harold Landry Jr., who has been out for the entire year with his ACL tear. The potential of this line is so high. The sky is so high, right? So the idea of getting them back together, the final regular season game of the season with a playoff berth on the line, there's no question these players are going to go out. Just talking to Jeffrey Simmons, you know he's so eager. He's biting at the chops to get out there and put some pressure on Trevor Lawrence. They also know how important that is, because this is an offense. This Jaguars offense has been clicking the last several weeks. Ever since they beat the Titans here in Nashville, that Jaguars offense has taken it to another level. Credit to Trevor Lawrence. In order for the Titans to slow them down offensively, they absolutely have to bring the pressure on Lawrence, make him uncomfortable, get him out of the pocket, try to make him extend difficult plays, make him earn those plays. And if they can do that, I really believe that the defense can minimize the damage from the Jaguars offense, which they weren't able to last time out.
Well, Jill, we're a couple of days away. Winner take all, loser leaves town, whatever you want to call it, as the Titans will take on the Jags. Appreciate the time as always. We'll see what happens with practice today, and we'll be watching on Fox 17.
Thanks, Jill.
Chase, Michelle, you guys are awesome. Also, love the new lineup at 102.5 The Game. Appreciate you having me on, and go Titans.
Thanks, Jill. Appreciate it. Jill Jelnick, Fox 17 Sports Director. Does a tremendous job for them. You can also catch Sports Overtime on Sunday at 10, and she'll have full reaction to the Titans and the Jags with that. Coming up next, we will look at that injury report, because Treylon Burks does concern me. How do you
me
feel? 615-737-1025. We'll do that next here on Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday. Caroline Willie and D-Mace coming up in just a few minutes. And I know they're going to talk about Treylon Burks being on the injury report. Michelle just asked Jill Jelnick from Fox 17 about that and the concern level there. Treylon Burks was listed yesterday as a limited participant with a groin. I haven't talked to him. I know Jill said she did. He didn't say anything about it. He seemed fine. We'll find out a little bit more today. But I am concerned about it, because Josh Dobbs has Derrick Henry and Treylon Burks, and that's really about it. I know Robert Woods scored a touchdown last week. He played a little bit better, but I think Woods is more effective if Burks is on the field. So if – and I mean, I assume he's going to go no matter what, even though he was limited. But the groin is tough when you're a receiver and all the moves that you have to make. So I am concerned, and I hope that this isn't a sign of things to come of Treylon Burks battling injury every year.
Yeah, I know Jill said that she wasn't concerned. Chase, I'm more on the same page as you. I talked to Treylon yesterday in the locker room before practice. You know, he said he felt good. everything was fine, but I did notice on Twitter that when he was on the injury report, Teron Davenport posted it and somebody tweeted at him asking if it was an in-practice injury. And Teron said that, yes, it happened in practice yesterday. So the reason I'm concerned about that is because we have seen him, you know, the turf toe earlier this year in Indianapolis, and he was out for a couple weeks. And then the concussion he had, and then he was in the Eagles game and he was out for a bit too. And now this groin injury, and you're concerned with this because you see Elijah Molden with the groin injury that's been nagging and he's been out all season. We know what hamstring injuries have done to wide receivers here with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Even Christian Fulton has been back and forth with his hamstring injury because it's those soft tissue injuries that, you know, it's not a broken bone. And when it's fixed, it can be feel fine one day. And if you just tweak it the right way, it can be concerning moving forward, and especially since this was a Wednesday practice. They play Saturday, not Sunday, so it is a day earlier. I am definitely going to be looking out to see if he's on the practice field today. But he is, other than Derrick Henry, your best offensive weapon in this game. You saw Josh Dobbs be able to connect with him a couple times. And then there were also a couple other throws that, you know, he should have caught, though I remember the one, you know, over the middle of the field. He jumped, he missed it, but it's hit his hands. You can tell that Dobbs, as a new quarterback in this system, feels really comfortable with Treylon Burks. And you can count on him to make plays. I mean, we've seen the yards after catch and how effective he can be. So you already don't have a lot of offensive weapons on this team, and then to potentially not have him is very scary. I mean, I know Chigga Conquo is another guy who can be effective, but he played 16 snaps in Thursday Night Football. So
I know. And that's where it goes back to Todd Downing, that I just don't understand of why those guys are not being more involved. I mean, yes, Treylon Burks was targeted 8 times, only had 4 catches against Dallas, but I need more. I simply need to see more. And, you know, I hope that this isn't really that big of a deal of an injury. Maybe it's just a tweak and he'll be able to play through it, because you honestly just need him to. You know, if it's not detrimental to him and can't hurt it any worse, then, you know, this is the time where it's Barry Trotz would always say, are you hurt or are you injured? There's a difference between the two, and hopefully he's just hurt.
Well, and at week 18 of an NFL season, I can imagine that a majority of this team is feeling hurt.
Yeah.
And some even injured, too, and playing through it. But, you know, back to the Treylon Burks and Chigga Conquo point, I mean, Todd Downing was asked yesterday. I think Paul Kaharsky asked him, it was a great question, just on, you know, you've said you want to get Treylon Burks and you want to get Chigga Conquo more involved in this offense, but we just haven't seen it. I mentioned Chigga Conquo only being on the field for 16 snaps in this Dallas Cowboys game, but he has proved that he can make plays when he has the opportunity to. And Todd Downing said, you know, it may look like we're not giving them the opportunity, but sometimes things just aren't working out the way they want them to. And yes, he can say that to us, and we can look at it and say, but he's only on the field for 16 snaps. How is he able to, you know, take that opportunity to the next step?
Right. And, you know, Treylon Burks, a lot of eyes will be on him in the offseason, like you said, you know, to get those next steps to be the number one receiver that they hope he can be for this team. And, you know, I know that a lot of people made the comparison to A.J. Brown. That was a natural thing. That's who you traded him away and you drafted Burks. Obviously, A.J. Brown had a much better rookie year than Treylon Burks did, but he also didn't battle the injuries as much as Treylon Burks did. So it's certainly somebody that they're going to need, because Dobbs, you want to improve Dobbs' confidence in throwing the football. He's going to have to make some big throws, and if you have 16 available to you, that's certainly going to help that process. And like I said earlier, when Treylon Burks is in the game, Robert Woods tends to have a better game because it takes some of the pressure off of him.
Well, 100%. It opens up the offense. And then you add Derrick Henry in there, who wasn't in there last week against Dallas. It opens it up furthermore. Even if Derrick's just on the field and it's not a play designed for him, right, everybody assumes it's going to Derrick Henry because he is Derrick Henry. So when you have more weapons on the field, I mean, we saw it when A.J. Brown was here. Just having that other offensive weapon, it opens up the offense so the defense isn't as sure to what you're going to do in handing it off to Derrick Henry.
Right. I've also decided I'm going to have a new approach for the rest of the week with Todd Downing. Instead of yelling at him like I've kind of done a few times, yes. I'm going to say, hey, Todd, hey, do me a favor and look at your roster. And so 85, not Derek Mason. No, he's coming up next. 85, that's Chig Okonkwo. Okay. He is a rookie tight end. Very, very good athlete. Let's work on involving him a little bit more. And, you know, if you need to walk in the locker room and introduce yourself to him, you can do that. But, you know, let's maybe go to Chig a little bit more. That'd be great.
I think if he doesn't have a significant role in this game, people will be mad, which is very fair because we've seen him make plays. So why isn't he being involved?
If he doesn't, then because of our new time slot, I could do this. I'm going to go to the press conference on Sunday or Monday or whatever it is and say, hi, Vrabes, what's up? What's up with Chig Okonkwo? Is he on a pitch count? Like, what is it? Like, did he piss somebody off? Like, I don't understand. Because he's not – I thought, you know, when he was standing on the sideline in Dallas, I'm like, okay, maybe he tweaked something. Last I checked, he hadn't been on the injury report all week.
No.
So I don't think it was that.
Or injured at all. And, you know, the Dallas game, I kind of take it with a grain of salt because I know a lot of the starters were sitting out. And I thought, okay, maybe if it was a pitch count or something like that, they're saving him up for week 18 in this game. But that's a huge question if he doesn't have a significant role this week.
Yeah. And so he's going to need it because he's the weapon. I mean, Joey from Gallatin even says, if Henry and Chig can be efficient, it would give Burks a lesser load that he may be able to battle through. True. Very true. But you're going to have to use what little weapons that you have coming up Saturday night. I can't believe, like I said to Jill, that we're only a couple days away from this matchup. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. ESPN has it on ABC as well. It is a playoff game.
That's essentially what it is. I know. I got my email notification, check into your flight soon. I fly out tomorrow. So it is
Yeah, that's
going to
be fun that you'll be there.
Yeah, I'm excited. Sure.
Coming up next on Caroline Willie and D-Mace, they will talk about Treylon Burks being on the injury report and what that could mean for this weekend. So they will continue our conversation. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. Caroline Willie and D-Mace is coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.